Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, April 3rd, 2014. Wendy Wilson will be joining us for the first segment of the program from the Apothecary Herbs, talking to you a little bit about health. And, of course, she's got some great products to offer you. But first, let's get into the precious metals market to see what gold and silver has done for the day. It struggled most of the day. It's coming back, 1287, down 330. We have silver down 17 cents at $19.91. Platinum was up 8 at 1445, along with palladium up 2 at $791. The USDX today is also trading stronger, 0.25 at 80.47, along with crude oil also up 0.72 at 134. The paper markets today, they tried. It was kind of flat on the day. Everybody's waiting for this big jobs report tomorrow. All bets are on this, so we'll see what the markets do and how they manipulate and lie about the reports tomorrow. So we're just preparing you, folks. You have the Dow down, basically unchanged at 16,572. The NASDAQ was down 38 at 42.37. The S&P also was down 2 at 18.88, and the 10-year yield 2.79% down 0.01. We had a great interview yesterday, Alfred. Good afternoon.
We did?
Yeah, I enjoyed having Greg Hunter on the program. And he certainly has agreed to return.
Good.
So a lot of interesting information he has to share with everyone. He does some great interviews with folks, and he has a wonderful way of sharing that information. So we're excited to do advertising with Greg Hunter. That'll be beginning here in the next couple of weeks, as soon as we get all of our little I's dotted and T's crossed.
Who's in charge of dotting I's and crossing T's?
Who's in charge?
Yeah.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure everybody
does. Are you licensed to cross T's and dot I's?
I'm a licensed I dotter and T crosser. Yeah.
Right.
You betcha.
All right.
That's why we do such a great job.
Don't want to be doing anything in the battered police state if you're not licensed to proceed. You know what I mean?
That's why we do such a great job here at Discount Gold and Silver. That's why people don't have problems with the way we do business. They get great pricing. And don't forget, folks, we have $2.75 over spot for your silver Eagles. Free shipping on boxes of 500 plus. And for, I'm not sure if we're going to get to it today, but we're going to be talking about the 5 million silver ounces that were sold last month. An incredible number. An interesting number, too. So, but let's get to Wendy Wilson from the Apothecary Herbs. Thank you for joining
the
program.
Hello, Melody. How are you?
Just great, Wendy.
Awesome. Hi, Mel. How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you, Wendy?
Okay, we're going to talk about the annual checkup today. And I'm not talking about the kind that you get at the general practitioner. This checkup is referring to, you know, checking to make sure we have essentials on hand for unforeseen events. And, you know, I can understand why, you know, for you know, some, they're kind of turning a deaf ear to the preparedness message because, you know, the economy's not doing well. And with every month that goes by, our standard of living decreases. But we're going to take a look at getting prepared in stages. And because it would be almost impossible to accumulate everything you need in one fell swoop. So majority of folks are getting prepared. They're stockpiling supplies over time. So we're going to look and see what we may have overlooked. And also we're going to see what the nation as a nation, how prepared the nation is. So I have this stock up strategy, Melody and Al. I don't spend my dollar bills and my coins. I set them aside and once a month I check to see how much I periodically have accumulated, and I can use those funds outside of the average budget stuff that you need to get to help get some items to be prepared. And experts are saying you need about 3 emergency kits. You need one for work, one for your home, one for your car. But, hey, Al, do you have one of those kits by chance?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, those emergency kits, pretty standard. They have the, you know, the bandages, the tourniquet, the ice packs, the antibacterial ointments, things like that. So these kits are very helpful, but they're typically geared for being a stopgap measure while you're dialing 911, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the herbal kits that we have at Apothecary Herbs are kind of an extension of those types of kits when there's no answer at 911. Okay. So keep that in mind. So, and while we're getting prepared, you know what we typically forget? We forget to get prepared for our pets. Most people are, you know, packing bug out bags and storing stuff. They tend to forget about the pets in their home. And most pet foods are not really geared for long-term storage. Most of the pet foods aren't healthy to begin with. So what I plan to do for my pet is, you know, share the food that I'm eating, but then I'm adding this protein powder called Power Greens for Pets. And it's really easy to store this powder and transport it. You can even transport it in a Ziploc bag and stick it into your backpack. And it has a 5-year shelf life if you're storing it in a cool, dry place without any moisture. And that kind of beats lugging around cans of pet food and bags of kibble. Don't forget.
It sounds a little bit. Are dogs and cats likely to eat a green food?
Well, you mix it in with some food. So if you have pet food on hand, you can mix it into that. It gives them more nutrition. But if you don't have that, you can mix it into some people food, preferably, you know, some proteins and not a bunch of other stuff. And that can, you know, be a lot of protein they can get when they normally wouldn't. So it keeps your pet, you know, with the vitamins and minerals and proteins it needs to survive. So basically also keep your backup leash in your car just in case. You know, because what I'm doing is, you know, I'm always thinking, I'm getting ready for the scenario where you don't have time to take a whole lot of stuff. So you got to grab your bug out bag and go. So make sure that
you
have.
You know, I wonder about that. I don't know if you live in a major community, a major city or not, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
But down here in Dallas, I don't think I could get out of this city in a sudden. In a short notice, because everyone else would be trying at the same time.
Right.
I mean,
well,
this place would clog up so fast, it would be,
well, that's,
you know, you
why
could park your
you
car
have,
and come back months later and still be there.
Right. And that's why the experts are saying if you have a place to go to that's less populated, try to make it sure it's within an hour's drive away, because if you had to walk to it, you could get to it in 3 days, and that's why your bug-out bags are supposed to be packed with what you need to make that trek. And, but, you know, the masses, though, Al, they're just going to, they're not really prepared for any of this. They're looking to the FEMA camps for help. So if the disaster's large enough, you know, it could take 3 months to process people. And you know how people hate to wait. Now, Homeland Security, now on their website, they have some tips on getting prepared. And they have this tip, and I've abridged it. So this is what it says. Local officials and relief workers cannot reach everyone. Your help may arrive in hours or days. Electricity, gas, water, sewage, and telephones may be off for days, weeks, or longer. Your supplies should help you to manage during these outages. Okay? So, and I checked out some of the information across the board here because, you know, I'm not a big person to advocate living in fear, just being informed, making some sound decisions so you don't tempt disaster, you know, because as you know, the Bible that tells us how we should not live in fear because fear is torment, but we should be concerned. So I checked with the director of the National Center for Disaster Preparedness. It's called NCPD. His name's Dr. Erwin Redlener, and he says this, Americans are grossly unengaged and unprepared for the next disaster, which could be a massive earthquake, a dirty bomb, or a pandemic that he says puts swine flu to shame. He says, so most Americans are not willing to accept the reality, the possibility that they may have to leave populated areas for long periods of time. And according to him, you know, all these hiccups we've had with Katrina and some earthquakes and things like that, 9/11, he says, people he's talked to across the country, there's a high level of resistance from Americans in general to following preparedness guidelines because they're not willing to look to themselves and they're depending on outside help. So what Americans are doing, Al, Melody, is they're hitting the snooze alarm when it comes to getting prepared. So I think the task of getting prepared may seem so overwhelming. So if you take it in little chunks or bits and get little things along the way, because I think it would take a lot of funds to get adequately prepared. And I'm not even sure anyone could be fully prepared because everyone's perception of an emergency is different. The majority of them, well, the perception's way off. So, hey, do you know what they do in Israel, Al? For preparedness?
They celebrate Hanukkah.
No, the nation of Israel, the population there has come to the reality that not if but when they have a mega disaster. So the average family in Israel has a safe room in their house to help the family survive during serious disasters. So I think what Melanie's been telling Americans is, you know, you start thinking about a different kind of investment strategy, which does not include stocks. You know, but have a pragmatic plan for survival during a disaster or even a mega disaster, and that would include some backup currency from you guys at a discount, right?
Well, backup currency, we would, you know, we'd think in terms of, it kind of depends on what sort of disaster you're preparing for. You know?
Well, you know, a disaster.
And it's hard to say, for example, you talk about a pandemic.
Right.
Some sort of a disease that sweeps the country. Not impossible, all right? It's conceivable that that could happen, but it's not the same as an economic collapse.
Right.
But on the other hand, if we had a pandemic, it would probably cause an economic collapse.
True.
So what I'm trying to get to is, do we prepare for a pandemic? Do we prepare for an economic collapse? What are we preparing for? And there's a certain amount, to me, this is at least vague. I don't know what exactly to prepare for, but I figure you've got to have food and water and, you know, ammunition, gun, gold,
right.
Silver, medical supplies. You know, that,
right.
It's pretty much a standard assembly, although you can't be sure of what you'll actually need in a worst case in a difficult situation.
Well, you're going to do the best you can, and I would prepare for everything you just suggested because here's the shock and reality. We have 5,000 hospitals across the United States, and they're underfunded by the U.S. government for disaster preparedness. So to get them prepared, it would take about $5 billion and then another billion every year to maintain that preparedness. And the American people and the government are really not willing to make that investment. Now, to be honest, the director of the NCPD's biggest fear, he says, is a pandemic bigger than the Spanish flu, earthquakes. And earthquakes are usually a precursor to volcanic eruptions, by the way. Also, he says, terrorism and nuclear meltdowns. And Director Red Lenner, he says, he confesses that, you know, he's been a little slack in his own family preparedness, and he has to go home and review his plan from time to time to make sure that, you know, they haven't overlooked something. I think that's a good idea, maybe on an annual basis or semi-annual basis, depending on what you see happening. You can make changes to your preparedness plan. So, you know, recently we had an ice storm here in North Carolina, which is, you know, pretty rare, ice and snow. And when the weatherman told people, you know, get ready, prepare, people went to the grocery store. And you know what they were buying, Al? They were buying frozen food meals and entrees and snacks. Now, what's wrong with that when an ice storm's coming?
Well, the idea is the ice storm, if the ice storm cometh, there's a good chance your electricity is going down.
Right.
You won't necessarily have an easy time of cooking frozen
right.
foods.
So what they should have been doing is buying canned goods, you know, something that they could, you know, eat out of the can that wouldn't require heating or cooking. So people need to stop and think, like you said, you know, run some scenarios through your head about what, you know, what you would do, like, if your local nuclear station started acting like Fukushima, what you would do if, you know, you lived on the New Madrid fault line going through, you know, Tennessee and in that area. So, you know, you got to think of these things ahead of time and get as prepared as you can. And you know, you don't have to break the bank to get prepared. Like I said, you could save your money if you get little things and build up to the preparedness stage. And so I think, you know what, a customer of mine did, he took and he de-junked his attic and his basement. And some of the items he had were in good condition. So he sold them on eBay, and he made $1,200. And then he took that $1,200 and he put that towards his preparedness plan. I thought that was an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that way you don't add to the supply of stuff you already have stacked in your garage and up in the attic. Get rid of some of the stuff and get some more stuff in there. How long should people prepare for?
Well, the experts
what do you think?
Say, you
I
know,
mean, some people are talking about days or weeks. Do you think that's adequate?
Right. No, I don't. I think the experts are now saying, you know, you should have 6 months to 12 months worth of storable food around. Water, of course, you know, bottled water or, you know, a source that you can get to if you have a bug out location with a good spring or well. That's excellent. You know, have your medical supplies. Start adding to those things. Like you said, self-defense. And, you know, and have an evacuation route already laid out that would not take you on highways. You would may have to hike it out. Like you said, you couldn't get out of Dallas. And so have a route planned. There's lots of maps that you can get with hiking and logging trails that you can weave your way to the location without being on highly populated, you know, roads. So there's a lot people can do to get prepared and thinking. I know it's kind of exhausting to think about the worst, but sometimes that's what we have to do in order to prepare.
Well, the worst case scenario is by definition the least likely. All right. We don't.
Right.
We can prepare for the worst, but it probably won't be that bad, but it might be a serious problem. But we are going to be out of time in about 15 seconds, Wendy, so why don't you tell folks how to reach you?
Okay. They can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or they can give us a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, and we do have some herb packs that help them prepare for those on a budget and those not on a budget.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. Wendy Wilson from the Apothecary, I can't think of the name, correct me.
Apothecary Herb Shop.
Apothecary Herb Shop. We'll be back in a moment. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we got an email about the Russian system, how Putin is backing a national card payment system. I mean, we've talked about this before, about their ability to, you know, dump their bonds. And, you know, the Ivan brought up the question yesterday about the nuclear option, as far as countries dumping their dollars and their bonds. So Putin is backed plans for Russia to create its own national payment system to protect itself against the kind of disruption when Visa and MasterCard cut their ties with the Russian banks that are being hit by the U.S. sanctions over their takeover of Crimea. Russia has floated this idea for years. No one's, you know, they never followed through. A few steps were ever taken. But now, since the sanctions and the ties with Visa, MasterCard being cut, the idea has resurfaced after the international payment providers stopped servicing their four banks last week. And so Putin is behind this idea now. We need to protect our interests, and we will do it, Mr. Putin said in a meeting with members of Russia's upper house of parliament. So definitely it's slow going. It takes time for these things to develop. These systems work and work very successfully in such countries as Japan and China. They originally started as exclusively national systems confined to their own market and territory and their own population, but have gradually become more and more popular. Noting that Japan's Japan's central bank systems now accepted in nearly 200 countries. So
what we're saying,
move away from the dollar. Yep.
Is that our government, in its infinite wisdom,
mm-hmm.
has decided to threaten to sanction a country that produces petroleum products,
mm-hmm.
knowing that our dollar is the world reserve currency because it has been the petrodollar, at least up through 2000. It was the only currency that you could use in the international market to purchase crude oil. People had to have dollars in order to buy crude oil. And that demand created what we came to call the petrodollar, and it gave our fiat dollar an apparent value that was not intrinsic. The dollar was no longer backed by gold, no longer backed by silver, but it was implicitly backed by petroleum products. Now, the reason this is important is here we are in a bind. The dollar is already having problems. The dollar is already a little bit on the fragile side. And what does our government decide to do? They decide to implement sanctions, however modest, against an oil-producing nation. The reason this is stupid, it is classically idiotic, is because the only reason the dollar has value is because oil-producing nations insist on being paid in dollars. They have agreements where they've said, okay, we're only going to take dollars. Now, those agreements are being diminished. They no longer have the force they had, say, 10 years ago. But nevertheless, my understanding is that Russia has been selling 25% of Europe's natural gas. And Russia has been taking dollars in payment for the natural gas. Now, our government is saying, well, we're going to cut you off. Well, Russia is saying, well, big deal. All we're going to do now, Russia will stop taking dollars for natural gas and will insist on being paid in either euros or rubles or yuan or some currency other than dollars, which means less petroleum producers will continue to accept dollars for their petroleum. And as that happens, the value of the dollar as the petrodollar will be further diminished. And as it's further diminished, its status as world reserve currency will be further diminished. And as the status is further diminished, the perceived value of the fiat dollar will fall. Now, if I've been able to explain this with any measure of clarity, I'm just saying the government is our government, by threatening sanctions and forcing Russia to go its own way financially, they're cutting the legs out, at least in part, of the petrodollar. What we're doing, what our government is doing, is hurting the dollar. And I'm sitting back watching this and thinking to myself, you know, someone in Washington needs a brain transplant.
Did you ever think, Al, that it is being done intentionally?
I know it's being done intentionally.
This is the agenda? Absolutely.
I know it's being done intentionally, but is it being done stupidly intentionally, or is it being done conspiratorially intentionally?
Conspiratorially.
Your implication, the implication of what you've said is that they want to collapse the dollar.
Yes.
And this will be an excuse for doing it. I don't know. This is like a death by a thousand cuts. If they want to collapse the dollar, go ahead and collapse the dollar. Let's just get up, Obama, take the podium and say, look, I've decided to collapse the dollar. Just say it and be done with it.
Or
this business about fooling around with Russia or wherever and a cut by a little bit.
Or, as a client asked me today, is this backdoors or are there backdoor deals going on?
Undoubtedly. They're always backdoor deals.
Always backdoor. I said mainly, I think, more with Europe than with Obama, but...
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
I'd say so. This is just bizarre. The truth of the matter is our government should not pick a fight with any oil-producing country. Insofar as any country is still taking dollars for crude oil, we should not mess with them unless we want to destroy the dollar. Whole thing is nutty.
It is.
Yeah. It's at least If it's not crazy, it is not. It is at least not easily understood. Whatever is happening for ulterior motives, you know, that are we can speculate about. But that's where we are right now. That's where I am, at least. Are these guys a bunch of morons, or are they a bunch of conspirators? Which is it, Melody, morons or conspirators? I know what you're going to say, both. And I heard you when Greg Hunter was on the program. I posed a question with him, and he said both. I said, is it this or this? He said both. And I heard you. You just barely snickered. But I knew, Melody, I heard you do that.
You did.
Now you're doing it again.
You did.
I can't get a simple yes or no answer.
But
you know, it appears to be my fate.
We're not in a yes and no world today. I mean, we really are not. But, however, whatever Putin is, you know, if they go ahead and do this and our country continues to, hey, what's it going to do for gold and silver?
Well, the whole idea is that as the value of the dollar goes down.
So I don't want to.
Should go up.
I don't want to. It's difficult when, you know, you're such a believer in gold and silver and you understand the monetary system and the values that.
Just a simple theory of supply and demand.
Yes.
You know, more people want it. You know, the only reason gold is at the price it is right now is because people are manipulating the market and intentionally holding it down.
Yes.
And we just look and see. You know,
and there's little interest.
No, it's part, and that's understandable from this perspective.
Stock markets are
maybe 1% of the people in the country own gold.
That's right.
All right, it's not something that's owned by the majority of people in this country, or even a significant minority. It's only owned by a group of people that actually have a little brains.
And how wrong?
Those are the ones who have it.
That's right.
And when did intelligence ever count for anything here in the United States? We are presumed put on Dancing with the Stars and I'm not sure, some other TV hoopla, and we will all march to the beat of a government drummer.
I saw Letterman is going to retire.
Don't blame him a bit.
He should have retired 20 years ago, but...
I sure hope he's got... Do you think he's got enough saved up now to...
You think?
...carry him through his retirement? Golden years?
Or will he... I don't know. He's going to work another year. He's going to work through 2015, so if he doesn't have enough saved, he...
Well, given this is his last year.
Yeah.
And if he's very frugal, he may be able to save enough where he can get through his golden years. What else do we have, Melody?
High-frequency traders.
Yep. Article from CNBC. A Charles Schwab Corporation chairman. That's Charles Schwab Corporation. The chairman, Charles Schwab, of that corporation. And chief executive officer, Walter Bettinger, spoke out against high-frequency trading. Now, this was the subject that Greg Hunter spoke on in part yesterday during the radio program. And again, Charles Schwab and... CEO called high frequency trading a growing cancer that needs to be addressed.
Do you know why they want it addressed? Because they're probably losing money against these.
Sure, they are.
Against
I've
these.
Been out five.
I mean, it's the big banks that are doing it anyway.
I know.
So, I mean, you know, it's yeah.
You know, it was one of the things that we saw in one of the articles that we talked about, I think, maybe last week. And the point is. The stock markets are at or near all-time highs, at the same time that U.S. ownership of stock is at near record lows. That means that at least implies that the demand from the common man is not there, and yet the stocks are rising dramatically, and it makes you wonder, how does this happen in a world where supply and demand is supposed to be a fundamental principle that moves our markets? If we don't have demand from the common man, are the stock markets rising simply because of great institutional demand, foreign demand? It raises questions about the legitimacy of where the markets are, the indices are at this time. Is the Dow Jones, does it really belong? It's over 1,600. Or is it manipulated? And part of what that question is part of what we're looking at with this business about high frequency trading. And just in case you weren't listening yesterday and you don't understand, high frequency trading means that they use computers with sophisticated programs to automatically trade stocks on the markets. And they trade these stocks playing in milliseconds. This isn't something where they do a study and say, well, the computer says, and that means tomorrow we're going to pull the switch and we're going to buy 100,000 shares of this, that. It's not, there's little or no human interaction. These programs are automatically buying and selling stocks on the markets based on minute changes in price. And the point being, if they can move 500,000 shares of stock at the same time, even if they only make a nickel on each one of those 500,000 shares, or a billion shares, or however many there, even if they make a penny on some of these trading, and the trade is taking place in milliseconds, then they make another trade and another trade, they are capturing millions, hundreds of millions of dollars by means of high-frequency trading. In and of itself, that's not bad. It's not wrong. But what happens is they have learned how to establish high frequency lines, connections between the brokerages and the marketplace that allow some brokers to anticipate by just a millisecond or two. Charles Schwab says, I'm going to buy 100,000 shares of a particular stock, and they place their order. Another brokerage intercepts that order. They get a copy of it. They see Schwab wants 100,000 shares of the ABC Corporation, and this other corporation moves in a millisecond or two in advance, and the computer automatically orders 100,000 shares or whatever of the ABC Corporation, causing the price to rise $2 a share, or maybe 2 cents a share. Now, by the time the Schwab order gets there, they intended to get it at one price, and they wind up paying an extra 2 cents a share, or maybe $2 a share. That extra price goes to the brokerage that snuck in, that is front-running. They anticipated the Schwab order. They beat them to the punch by milliseconds. Schwab had to pay more, and then, as it turns out, one of the people who are complaining about high-frequency trading, he points out that 95% of the front-runner, 95% of the high-frequency trade orders, not just front-runner, they don't admit to front-running, 95% of the high-frequency trading orders last year were canceled. Meaning, this is strong evidence of a racket. Imagine I'm a broker. Charles Schwab has placed his order for 100,000 shares or 500,000 shares of some particular stock. I catch wind of it with my fast computer, and I place an order for that stock at an exaggerated price in order to force Charles Schwab to pay an exaggerated price. I collect the extra money Schwab is paying, and then I cancel my order. And I never pay the exaggerated price. Now, I'm not sure if I made that very clear to people, but it's just evidence that this thing is a racket, and Schwab and other people like him are complaining. They're saying, look, it's depriving people in the market of confidence. They want confidence that they're getting a fair shake in the market. All right, I place an order. I'm going to get a fair. I understand I'm not guaranteed to win and I won't necessarily lose, but I want a fair shake. And with this high frequency trading, we're not getting it. And some of the people are literally saying, we need to increase government regulation. People on Wall Street are asking for more government regulation to control the high frequency trading. It's that bad, where the crooks are asking for protection from the bigger crooks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I'm here with my co-host, Melody Cedarstrom.
Yes, you are.
Uh-huh. Do you have a selection on what we want to talk about next, or shall I select?
Be my guest.
Okay. Military cuts rendered NATO less formidable as a deterrent to Russia. This is from the New York Times. Washington, President Obama, and European leaders pledged last week, Wednesday, to bolster the NATO alliance and vowed that Russia would not be allowed to run roughshod over its neighbors. But the military reality on the ground in Europe tells a different story. Now, first off, it makes me wince to see that Obama and European leaders have pledged anything or vowed anything that they're going to contain Russia. I just know, I am convinced they're not going to do anything significant. They can take their vows and they can take their pledges, and I don't think they have any significant value. And it offends me when they use that kind of language. The United States, by far the most powerful NATO member, has drastically cut back its European forces from a decade ago. European countries, which have always lagged behind the United States in military might, have struggled and largely failed to come up with additional military spending at a time of economic anemia and budget cuts. Look, Europe has been unwilling to invest in its own military to a significant degree since the end of World War II. They have been living to a significant degree based on the largesse of the United States. Our military has protected Europe. Europe has gone out and partied. They've played the fool. Now they're caught in a peculiar situation. We can no longer protect them. They can't protect themselves. And they're concerned. They say, oh my gosh, who's going to protect us? The Europeans are not helpless, but they are not powerful or organized. And they're vulnerable, at least in part. During the height of the Cold War, the United States troops in Europe numbered around 400,000 combat-ready force designed to quickly deploy and defend Western Europe, particularly what was then West Germany, against a potential Soviet advance. We had 400,000 troops over there. Today, There are only about 67,000 American troops in Europe, including 40,000 in Europe. That's two-thirds, or in Germany, excuse me. That's two-thirds of the American soldiers are in Germany, with the rest scattered mostly in Italy and Britain. They go on to mention we have 130 fighter jets, 12 refueling planes, 30 aircraft, go on. But during the Cold War, we had 800. Now we have 130 aircraft over there. The point is, we don't have enough, there's not enough military power in Europe at the moment to really rattle your saber effectively at Russia. I don't believe Russia has any intent on Europe. I don't believe they're going to invade Europe. I don't anticipate that. I believe that they're going to pretty much do what they've done. They're going to annex the Crimea, and that'll be about as far as it goes, at least for now. That's what I think is going to happen. I can't tell you it's God's truth, but it seems that way to me. Unless we have some real morons, and they get into this. For example, Ukraine. They have invited NATO military to come conduct military training exercises with the Ukrainian military in the Ukraine. Now, if this goes through, that means they will be asking for American soldiers and American tanks and probably American fighter planes, as well as those from England and Italy and France and Germany, to participate in some sort of a military training exercise in the Ukraine while Russia is sitting on the border of the Ukraine with, who knows, 100,000 troops or whatever they're talking about. This is just stupid. This is one of those things. They're going to try to show the Russians, or at least they are proposing to show the Russians that they're not intimidated, and they'll put American soldiers essentially just across the line from the Russian soldiers. That's an exaggeration. I doubt that they'd see each other face to face, but it still opens an opportunity for something to happen that is not planned, but an accidental consequence of a bunch of fools trying to show how big a man they are. Huh? The Ukrainians are going to try to prove it. The Russians are going to try to prove it. We may be stupid enough to try to prove it. And what good can come of it? My point is that if the fools take control, if it turns out that the lunatics capture the asylum, well, then we may be in a bunch of trouble. In the meantime, gives us reason to get up in the morning, look around, say, the internet's still running. I guess nothing strange has happened. Let's read the news and find out what else is going on. Are we getting closer to a stupid catastrophe? Or are we getting closer to a catastrophe that has a certain amount of logic behind it? If that's a possibility. And I keep looking at circumstances, and I wonder, are they going to destroy this world by intent or just out of raw stupidity and criminality? You know, that's another problem. We're talking about high-speed, high-frequency computer trading in the stock markets. This is just a racket. You understand? It's a racket. It is ultimately a criminal enterprise. And I've seen one report by 60 Minutes that talked about it, I think, this last weekend. And they didn't really, they said it's not criminal. This is all they're doing, is they're just using these transmission lines, electrical and, can't think of the proper term, but the light. Move light through these lines, communicating the data from one point to another, extraordinarily high speeds. And it's not illegal to outrun, to front run these other guys. If you find out they're going to make an order and you place the order first, good, hurry for you. It's not illegal. But I guarantee you it's unethical. I guarantee that the heart and soul of the people behind that, this is not simply competition. This is a kind of extortion, and maybe that some people are going to get away with it. But in the end, it's just another evidence of the kind of corruption that's taking place in our government, in the banking systems, in the markets. You know, we talk about this manipulation of the markets, and we talk about it on a regular basis, and it's not the first time we've ever talked about it, and it's not the first time you've ever heard about it. But we keep on referring to it as if it were merely manipulation. No, it's not. It's fraud. It's a device by which some people are being deprived of the truth. They are being defrauded of their wealth, and this fraud is being perpetrated by Wall Street, by major banking institutions, and by your own government. They're all complicit in this. And somehow, we just wink and we laugh. It's like the 60 Minutes program. I don't remember the name of the man who conducted the interview for 60 Minutes where they talked about the markets being rigged. They were talking to the author of a book that was just released in the last week, Flash Boys. I believe the title was Flash Boys. And he was the one who's exposing this market rigging and front-running in the New York markets. Probably markets around the world. The interviewer, he just laughs about it. It just, doesn't that just beat all? Some of these guys are outfoxing some of these other guys, and they're robbing them, essentially. They're taking advantage of them. And the interviewer just laughed. It was a joke. And that's a problem. That's a problem for all of us. You know, I do my jokes. I get into some of these things, and I see, and sometimes you almost have to develop a mortician's sense of humor. You deal with some of this information, and you look at it, and you see it, and it keeps coming after you day after day after day. You keep seeing it, and you have to learn how to make jokes about it. It's something you have to do to protect your own psyche. But you have to recognize also that there has to be a limit. There has to be a point where we stop accepting criminal behavior as laughable. It's time when we stop exonerating the crooks with a wink and a smile and a wish that, gee, I wish I could rob people the way they do. Somewhere along the line, America's got to stand up on its hind legs and say, look, this is wrong. And it's not going to be joked about, and it's not going to be tolerated. It's going to be stopped, point one. And point two, the people who participated in this attempt to defraud the American people, and that's who's ultimately going to get beat on this situation. The people who have participated in this fraud, right on up to, if it takes congressmen, senators, presidents, if they're in on the racket, they're going to jail. We're not just going to do a little wrist slap. We'll find some mid-level executive and pin the rap on him. We're going to get people that are responsible and make an example out of them that will scare the bejesus out of any other crook that touches our markets. And if we can't do that, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what, Al? I think you have too much faith in folks, because a lot of people, even though these markets are manipulated, they're benefiting. And as long as they're benefiting from the corruption, they're not going to they're going to accept it with a wink.
I understand.
And it's the same way with sure, there might be other people that are losing, but the majority are profiting, and that's what it comes down to.
Well, here's what the manipulation
they'll accept.
Does. The manipulation causes the price of stocks to rise. And everybody who is a stockbroker is going to sit back and say, hooray. They know that's good for business. Even though it's fraud, they're going to sit back and say, yay, the prices are going up. We're at record highs. We're going higher. We're going to make more money. And so they go long. They know there's fraud involved. They know there's criminal conduct involved, but they're getting a cut. So they're not going to blow the whistle on this.
Absolutely not. So,
but my contention is that ultimately the economy, these institutions will collapse. And they won't collapse because of economic details like inflation rates and unemployment rates and interest rates. And it won't be because someone tinkered with the economy and they amped up the interest rate a little too high or a little too low. That isn't what's going to get us. We are going to fall under the weight of the corruption that is prevalent in our markets, in our Congress, in government around the country. It has become a racket, around the world. When we have our global depression, it will not be for economic reasons. In the end, it will be for moral reasons. It will be because we've been stupid enough. We've been stupid enough to re-elect clowns, like to elect someone to the presidency in the first place who probably isn't even born in this country and isn't legally eligible. And then we re-elect him. And when the stuff hits the fan, people are going to say, oh, how could this happen? It happened because there are enough morons in this country who don't care about who they really vote for. They don't care if the man's moral or ethical. They identify when we vote for our politicians the way we select our movie actors for Academy Awards.
There was a poll out today. I don't know how good this poll is. Reason.com. So even if it's half wrong, it's still pretty bad.
It'll be good.
But Americans,
it's been around a long time, so that should be
American,
good.
Americans say 75%. This is Americans. 75%. They agree. They understand.
They understand
that politicians are corrupted. 70% use political power to hurt enemies. Yep. So, I mean, this isn't something that's, people know. But they know what's going on, and they accept it. They approve it. And the carrot has been dangled in front of their eyes, and everybody has a price. Many of the people of this country have been bought and paid for. And and Wall Street, I believe, finances the destruction of this country, and yet we continue to feed Wall Street with all kinds of money so they can continue to destroy this country and our freedoms and our rights along with Washington. So, but they have us. They have the people. They have people's life savings tied up in IRAs, pension funds, retirement plans. Now, a lot of people... it's difficult choices they need to make.
I know. They're not easy choices.
It's not easy.
It's easy to rant about this.
But
it's hard
they've
to
been
do.
Placed
I get that.
There. But they've been placed there.
No, I get that. But and partly because we have been irresponsible.
It's allowed us.
We're going to have to be responsible tomorrow, however, Melody, because we are out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Meantime, good Lord, bless you, me, Melody, and Frank.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.